And indeed, you are very welcome back to my favourite section of a Monday on Northside Today. This is where Sabrina Ryan and I get to chat and maybe a little tongue-in-cheek about the all things Politico and other things making the news in the past week. Good afternoon, Sabrina.
Good afternoon. I'm delighted to hear that it's your favourite.
I look forward to this. I look forward to next Monday as soon as this one is finished. Sabrina, I suppose we could maybe start off this week with a story that was running last week, and it certainly has not improved the situation at Ryanair.
It's going to be something that we're going to be hearing about for the next couple of weeks and months as people deal with cancelled flights and everything. But the shares have actually steadied out. The airline, as they are supposed to do, capitalised on the opportunity by buying back about 12 million of its shares, which is it's a clever move, you have to admit. So it paid 12 million to purchase 715,000 of its own shares as part of an ongoing 600 million buyback program. So they tumbled last week on the back of the employment rights ruling from the European Court of Justice, and the shares fell further after they were cancelling the flights in the coming weeks. So they confirmed to the stock exchange that it purchased the shares at an average price of €16.68 a piece. So they're taking an opportunity here to basically re-steady the company a little bit. And they tend to, such purchases usually tend to drive up a company's shares price. So the shares closed a little bit higher than usual, but there was nothing untoward about the share dealing and everything. So it's an interesting way that they've decided to see if they can steady themselves a little bit afterwards, but the backlash is something that they're just going to be looking at for so long. The pilots have come out and basically said, they feel like they're being dragged through the dirt as well. So it's a nasty one. It's a messy one. But you know what? It's going to go away, and we're all still going to fly Ryanair anyway.
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus of opinion. And I was, in case people are living under a rock, this isn't just confined to Ireland. This has, it's certainly European, but it's making world news as well. And I suppose no more so than the fact that it is estimated that the debacle so far has cost Michael O'Leary personally, I heard, €60 million, and the company €2 billion has been wiped off their shares.
But it's probably like a deck chair off the Titanic, Tony. They don't even, it's like gone in the blink of an eye, and it's, who cares? I imagine, give it a couple of months and that'll all be back to normal and business as usual again.
And speaking of business as usual, Sabrina, Donald Trump, he's like Irish water.
I knew you were going to say
honest
it.
To
I
God,
knew you were going to say it.
He's like Irish water. He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Well, I suppose you're referring here to the NFL protest.
I'm referring to the NFL protest. I'm referring to his absolute, I don't know what he was saying. Well, of course, obviously he wasn't thinking, but the speech he made at the UN, I was actually going to play the segments of it today, but I think people are actually punched drunk from listening to what he said at the UN and what he said about the players not respecting the anthem. I mean, he really does have to be, he's like a child, like a bold child. He has to be centre of attention at all times.
Like a bold child is right. Well, I think the thing that I've read more about now is the NFL protests. These protests have been ongoing for the better part of about a year, I think. I mean, I heard about players in the NFL taking the knee, as that is the hashtag now on Twitter. Like a long, long time ago, back, and it's all in protest of black American men being shot by police in the United States. And if you haven't seen those stories, that's not where you've been. So it's in protest to basically injustice and it's social inequality in the United States. So what NFL players have been doing is at the national anthems before the games, they have, instead of standing up and facing the flag, they have opted to take one knee. And it caused a lot of controversy when it happened first, and then it's rearing its head again. So the protest took place at a couple of games last week as well, and some teams have just been opting to not even be on the pitch while the anthems are being played. So there's lots of different ways that people are protesting this. But of course, like Trump just did not like this at all, and he took to Twitter, as he is to do, and it's absolutely incredible the things that he said. He basically told them that if they didn't, I'm paraphrasing here, but if they didn't stand for the national anthem, they could go and find themselves a different job.
Yeah, and he actually called on the team owners to sack them. And he used a couple of expletives as well. It was actually done during a speech, and I have absolutely no doubt that it was one of those speeches which is his want, as well as Twitter, is he went off script to say it. But the surprising thing, and he is very he's very friendly with a lot of these owners. A lot of the owners took the unusual, if you'll pardon the pun, step yesterday of coming onto the pitch, and where players were protesting, their owners stood in solidarity with their players.
Yes.
And as long as, as you did say, Sabrina, a lot of the teams didn't even come out for the national anthem. They stayed in the dressing rooms until it was over.
Well, I think there's a couple of things that need to be looked at here in that, I mean, it's not just about not standing for a national anthem. We need to start looking, or not we, they, over the other side of the pond, need to start looking at the reasons why. You know, it's not about what they're doing, it's what they're protesting. It's the idea of, you know, back 50 years ago, 50, 60 years ago, it was about water fountains and bathrooms, you know, and seats on a bus. Now it's about being shot by police. You know, they need to look at the reasons behind what it is and not the protest itself. Now, it's a controversial world over there. I'll never pretend to understand that country, and sometimes I don't think I ever want to understand that country. But the backlash is very divisive. A lot of people are very for the protests, and some people are absolutely outraged by the protests. If you go to the tweets, it's quite interesting reading.
Yeah, but I don't know, Sabrina. I just have this feeling that he looks at a situation, irrespective of what that particular situation happens to be, and he finds the most controversial and shocking thing he can say in relation to it, and out it comes, be it into a microphone at a speech, or, as you say, on his favourite mode of communication on Twitter.
Yeah, he's a little bit uncensored, all right. But I don't know. I think you get what you pay for, don't you?
Well, they did vote him in, and you know what was the old saying, Sabrina? Be careful what you wish for. Now, in relation to, I believe you have a real bone to pick with the organisers of the mini marathon.
Not the mini marathon. This was the Dublin half marathon.
The half marathon. My apologies.
Yep, these Sunday morning in Donabate, and let me tell you, there's probably about 9,000 people across the country, and that's only the people who are running that have a bone to pick with the organisers of the Dublin half marathon. Anybody who, if you opened up the news site yesterday, I'm sure you saw a story covering the absolute catastrophe that was the management and organisation of the event. It's an event that's been taking place for years, and has been taking place in the Phoenix Park, basically, I suppose, since its inception. And they decided to move the venue out to Newbridge House in Donabate. Now, are you familiar with that venue, Donny?
I am.
Now, how many roads in?
Not enough to cater for. No, number one, there's not enough, but number two, they're not of sufficient substance to cater for the traffic.
So, yes, there's two ways in to Newbridge House, into the grounds of Newbridge House, and one of them was closed off as it was actually part of the race route. So that meant you had one way in and you had one way out. The race had to be postponed.
And the one way in was the same way as the one way out, I presume.
Yes, yep, it was.
Just to make things really good. Yeah, very good, yeah.
So the race had to be postponed. There was people, basically, the M1 was a car park. The race was postponed for about a half an hour. People were parking in swords and walking down. I mean, a lot of people, you know, ended up actually abandoning their cars at the side of the dual carriageway as you go towards Lusk. There was cars parked on either side of the road. There was some cars parked down along the grassy stretch in the middle of the road, which is extremely dangerous. And I mean, I would not in any way ever condone the abandoning of cars, but I understand the frustration of people on the morning as well. Thankfully, when I was going myself, I got there very, very early. But to be honest, it actually was nearly too early because I ended up standing around for about 2.5 hours waiting for the damn thing to start in the first place. And then it started. And this is probably the part that people are not focusing on as much, but I think probably was a far more serious issue. Basically, somebody dropped the ball when it came to their water stations, as there was only 2 water stations across the 13-mile course for runners. Yeah. The weather on Saturday morning was humid.
And, I mean, I wouldn't really mind, well, I would mind, obviously, because it shows lack of professionalism, but, you know, I would imagine that these people are well used to organising and putting on these events, so they would know what's involved when they do the reconnaissance.
Absolutely, it's not their first rodeo.
Well, sorry, hang on a minute, I will rephrase that. You would think that they should know.
You would. There's an awful lot of potential in there. There's an awful lot of you would think. But, some people didn't get water until they reached 10 miles, which is just downright dangerous for people, particularly when people train towards, you know, an advertised event and the aid stations being in the places that you expect them to be. And, you know, it's just dangerous. It's dangerous for people. Now, thankfully, the fantastic residents of the area actually came out from their houses with water for runners. I met a lovely man who gave me half a banana and it probably saved me. So, the residents have to be commended.
That shows a complete, total, and utter lack of planning, Sabrina. And again, I go back to my original point here. Like, these people have been doing this for a number of years, so they know exactly what boxes to tick in relation to organising an event like this.
Absolutely. Now, there's been a lot of suggestion that the event had been moved in order to increase capacity, and as a result, obviously, you get more people in. You're making more money. Everything that goes along with that. But unfortunately, that just backfires unbelievably. I think that if the event does not go back to the its original location next year, you'll see people just opting not to do it, I didn't hear one person have a good word to say about it. Now, I think the part that I was okay with everything up to this point. I was like, you know, I'm not particularly happy, but listen, it's not the end of the world. We'll get through it. Until I got back to my car, and it took me 90 minutes to exit the car park.
It's all I can say to that. Having ran for 13 miles, the last thing you want to do is be sitting in a car cramping up for 90 minutes.
Precisely. So it took less time to run the 13 miles than it did to actually get started and get out of the car park.
But that's horrendous. I mean, that's absolutely... And have we any idea who is actually... I mean, the buck has to stop somewhere. Somebody...
Well, they released a statement on Saturday afternoon. And basically, they did apologise for the lack of planning that went and how basically disastrously wrong it went. They released a statement on their Facebook page and they also released it on their Twitter as well. So the race director, his name is Jim Ockney, and he issued an apology following the delay of the start time and due to also apologise to the people for the traffic congestion. So they were aware that some entrants missed out on partaking due to traffic issues, and they will be offering refunds. No, sorry, they're not going to be offering refunds. Sorry, I apologise. They're going to be offering anyone impacted in getting to the start line free entry into a race of their choice in the next year's race series. So, and they also said they're going to be having a full review into the debacle of the traffic issues and seeing what went wrong and how it went wrong. Now, to be honest, I don't know, in my own opinion, I don't know what could possibly come of that other than, all right, we didn't do very well with this one. Let's not do that again. So, like, they have released an apology and they have, you know, they're going to conduct a full and thorough review with their key stakeholders and everything. You know, I think it's all well and good, but they've just they've damaged their reputation a little bit. People are still going to run. People are still going to go out and do these events. And I mean, they, like, all the other events that they organise have been fantastic and absolutely perfect, and there's been no issues at all. But this one was just they really dropped the ball.
It sounds very, very like it, Sabrina. And you know, I mean, you're just out that bit too far for people to use public transport. But again, even to get to that venue by public transport is not an option, obviously.
And, well, it is an option, but it's not a very easy option. I mean,
exactly.
There's no bus that goes there. There's a train station that goes there. So I mean, you're talking about getting a train, changing trains. There was a bus as well that I saw people standing at a bus stop. Lord knows how that bus ever got to them, and they could still be standing there for all I know. But it just, unfortunately, it's a place that you just kind of have to drive to, and that's what 9,000 people attempted to do.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing that amazes me. Like, I mean, they know what the infrastructure is like. Okay, the roads going out to it are grand, but once you turn off to get actually into the place, those roads are not capable of dealing with that volume of traffic. The other side is, I would have thought, Sabrina, that if they wanted to bring it out north side, why not take it out, we'll say, around the seafront in Clontarf or St. Anne's Park or somewhere like that?
I mean, all those are options. I mean, there are other marathons that take place along there as well. There's a lot of them that take place around there. So, I mean, it could be a case of maybe territorial thing. I'm not so sure. Now, I don't know if you've ever had the misfortune to run down along Dollyman Strand, but let me tell you, that's one windy place.
Sabrina, it is a long time, dear, since I ran anywhere. I gave up that crack when I learned to drive. And I did that when I was about 14 or 15. The only running I've done since is when I was playing hurling or football. Sabrina, anything else for me other than the fact that you won't be going to Donabate if it's being held there next year?
Well, just like a recap on Culture Night. Unfortunately, I didn't really get that much of an opportunity to get out and about, but I did pop into the James Roy Centre to see the guys and gals from Near FM doing their outside broadcast, and I was listening to it on the radio as well for a lot of the evening while I was pottering around doing my bits and pieces. And I have to say, it was a wonderful, wonderful broadcast, and things went very well. I've heard reports of, you know, it just being, in general, quite a successful evening across the city. The weather held off, you know, which is always going to help. And just, you know, we just keep going and start preparing again for next year, I suppose.
Yeah, I was talking to our own Paula Wiseman this morning, and who was in at the event as well. And I think she was working at it, and she did a broadcast from it. But she was saying afterwards that she potted around more than yourself around the city, and she just remarked on the huge crowds that were out and enjoying Culture Night.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's fantastic. It's a great way to celebrate the city. It really, really is. And I mean, I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about about the event, which you have to admit, if you can get everyone agreeing that it's a good event, you're doing something right somewhere.
You definitely are, because that is as rare as hen's teeth, as they say down the country. And again, I did hear it discussed. It is an event which year on year is growing exponentially.
Yep, and I mean, it's just brilliant. And to see it up and around the country as well, you know, it's not just in Dublin, it's everywhere. You know, I'm seeing things from home, seeing things from down in Ennis, and events happening, and it's great to see people out. And it's a wonderful departure as well from our alcohol-based activities, which can dominate the social life in this country. You know, and whatever your opinion is on that. So it's very nice to see that this is just something that we can have, and that it's successful and it's well run, and everyone comes out smiling.
Yes, indeed, and you know, onwards and upwards, I think, is going to be the motto for Culture Night, based on what I've seen for the last couple of years. Is that it for this week, Sabrina?
Just before you go, just after appearing online is a very interesting story from the German elections, actually. Literally, this is just reading this as I'm speaking to you. The National Alternative for Germany was hit by party infighting today. Of course, the German elections took place yesterday. This party, their AfD, and they won the first seat in the parliament in the election yesterday. And the co-chief, now I'm going to absolutely butcher his name as I always do, Frauke Petry, declared that she won't join the group, and she has quit the party just hours after their election breakthrough. She has cited dissent with more hardline colleagues, and she dropped the bombshell at a party conference this morning, and she basically caught everybody by surprise that she'd left the room. So it's interesting when it's been described as a tug of war within the party between more radical and more moderate forces at the top, and it raised questions on how far right it plans to position itself. It's a bit mad, isn't it?
It is, but I think as well, you know, like, while Angela Merkel is heading into a fourth term in those German elections, I think... Yes, she's heading into a fourth term, but she lost a lot of votes and a lot of seats, and it was this crowd, this ultra-right wing crowd, that actually took those votes and took the seats from her.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, they're kind of a frightening prospect. I mean, they had a lot of posters, to be honest, Islamophobic and anti-migrant posters, one of which stated burqas, we prefer bikinis, and the other one was like, new Germans, let's make them ourselves. So basically saying that we don't want new German people, we're just going to have German people. And that featured a heavily pregnant white woman pushing a buggy as well. So they are super right wing. The foreign minister Sigmar Gabriel labels the party real Nazis, which realistically we don't want to see that kind of ugly head, you know, popping up in Europe again. But unfortunately, I think that's the way the world is heading at the moment.
I think it's 50 years since they had anything like that sort of a representation in the German parliament, and it is a worrying trend, especially when you see that in other countries across Europe, people on that side of the fence, if you'll pardon the pun, and on that wavelength and that way of thinking, there's a little bit of momentum gathering. I know Marie Le Pen wasn't successful in France, but she still got a hell of a lot of votes.
Yeah, she still did get a hell of a lot of votes, as you say, and it's something that I don't think we should ignore. The rise of kind of super conservatism, and it's something that it's a frightening prospect that potentially we could have, you know, a significant super conservative, super right wing Europe. You know, it's not something that has worked well in the past, as you may well know. But I think it's the natural way of the world. People go all the way to the left, and then they go back all the way back over to the right, and then they go, oh no, we don't like this, and they go all the way back over to the left. You know.
Yeah, and
people are fickle.
And I suppose they're very fickle indeed. You know, it's coming at a bad time as well, Sabrina, because I think that the whole European project is starting to fracture throughout Europe. So, I mean, their timing is immaculate, and of course, I suppose they wouldn't be gaining ground like they are gaining only for the fact that the EU project seems to be cracking.
It's not going to break, and I'm saying that with my optimistic hat on. It just needs to change its form a little bit, I think. Maybe. I don't know. I don't have the answers. I never claim to have the answers.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of the problem, you know, and if you speak to people who understand the project better than you and I, they will say that what was originally dreamed up when way back years ago when it became the EEC and then it became the EU and whatever, but the project that was in place then, compared to where we are now, I mean, there are mandarins in Brussels making decisions about this, that and the other, and they're totally unelected, and they cannot be got rid of, and blah 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 blah. And I think that's a lot of the problem. And, you know, I mean, you travel a good bit, Sabrina, you've been around most of Europe. It is impossible to get a one-size-fits-all for the different diversities, the different cultures, the different outlooks that are in Europe.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if somebody says to you, what's your identity? I mean, personally, for me, I don't ever... it would never even dawn on me to say European. You're Irish. That's it. And, you live in Europe, yeah, but I would never consider myself a European person because, as you say, one-size-fits-all doesn't work. If you take somebody from, I don't know, Ahaskra in County Galway, and you put them beside somebody from Katowice in Poland, you know, what are the differences and what are the similarities? You're probably going to have an awful lot more differences. And that doesn't mean that we can't get on. It just means that you can't apply blanket policies across all, and everything in between that as well. It's just impossible.
Yes, so in your case, Sabrina, Irish by birth, Clare by the grace of God. Is that the way you describe it?
I'm celebrating my 10-year anniversary. I moved to Dublin 10 years ago, last week.
Well, no more than myself, Sabrina, you held on to your accent.
And I will never let go.
Sabrina, it has been brilliant. I'm looking forward to next week already. Thanks a million.
Good stuff. Thanks a million, Tony.
Bye-bye. Now, how about Sabrina Ryan and our weekly look at political machinations at home and abroad?